It's good to see you out today. Just some announcements for today and for the incoming week. Stepping Stones Tiny Steps are back on today, and there's also a creche as normal, so the children can go out at their normal time. 5 p.m. we have a prayer meeting in the prayer room at the back, and if you can come back at 6 o'clock then, you'll be made more than welcome, and our pastor will be speaking at that meeting. For the incoming week, I'm assuming that all the organisations are now started back in earnest, so you'll know your own arrangements as the week goes on. We also have a week of prayer this week, so which is the meetings will be held on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. So, and that's in the prayer room at the back rather than the hall across the way. Please come and pray for the work and witness of this church. Just next Sunday, the 11 o'clock service will be taken by Andrew Cuthbert, and the 6 p.m. service will be taken by our pastor. Just a couple of other announcements. There is a prayer booklet from the EFCC, which is the Evangelical Fellowship of Congregational Churches. So that's a prayer focus for congregational churches, not just in Northern Ireland, but further afield. So if you have a heart for prayer, please lift one of those on the way and pray over it. Thank you. And then just finally, you'll notice on the PowerPoint probably at the end that there's some pictures that CEF sent in letting us know about the children in Ukraine and the Christmas bags that they got. So there's a few pictures there. You'll see it there now. They just sent it in. Our thanks to you. And our hope is that those packages and the literature within them will find a heart, you know, and we'll see children won for the Lord. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
Good morning. It's very nice to see you this morning. Just before we come to a time of worship, let me just open in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you to worship you, to exalt you and to glorify you. Father, may we come with 10,000 reasons and more to praise you this morning. Father, may we come with hearts of gratitude, hearts of despair, and hearts of need, that we can depend upon you, Father, for all of our needs in every aspect of our lives. Our Father, may we just hold true what it says in your scripture, that it says that your word will never fail. There's an impossibility, Father, to the Christian life, and through you it is possible. And by clinging to you and being dependent in every way to you, Father, we honor you this morning. So, Father, let us lift our voices, lift our hearts, let us lift all that is on our hearts, Father, to you this morning, and to give you grace, to give you glory. Father, may we just honor you with us this time this morning, Lord. And may we just praise you this morning. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. The first song that we're going to sing this morning is Give Me a Sight, O Saviour. Now, it's an oldie, and I don't think we've sung it in quite a while, but it has such wondrous truth in it. Now, I will warn you, there is a little bit of a dispute amongst the time and amongst the band, but we'll give it a go, and we'll stand for two songs. Thank you.
Oh,
Okay, boys and girls, do you want to come and meet me at the front? Brilliant, good to see you. So we're going to sing a song this morning, and it's called Good News, Good News. And in the olden days, maybe some of the congregation will remember, there used to be paper boys that used to stand on the corner of the streets and sell newspapers. And if they had exciting or good news, they would shout, "Extra, extra, read all about it." Okay? So I want the people outside to know what good news we have this morning, the good news of Jesus dying for us to save us from our sins and rising again. Okay, so can we let everybody know our good news this morning? Yeah? And when it gets to extra, I know we normally tell you not to shout in church, but can you shout really loud, "Extra good news"? Brilliant. And do this with your hands and cup your mouth and go, "Extra." Brilliant. Just like that. Okay, thank you. Try that again, and I want to hear you shout, okay? Okay.
The next song as we come to sing is "Blessed Be Your Name." So we'll stand for this. It's just a minute until the kids go out.
Thank you. blessed be his name. I wonder, are you like myself this morning? You're still loaded and dosed with this cold. It seems as if it goes away and then it comes back again. And it comes back with a vengeance. But I trust and pray that we'll soon get over all of these old flus and colds. I won't be here next Sunday morning because I'm in for a test next Sunday morning. So that's why I'm not here. So I'm glad and thankful that Andrew is covering for me. So let's pray together in prayer. Let's pray. And let's seek the Lord together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact tonight, today, that we can sing with our hearts, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we can truly say, blessed is the name. We're so thankful that you are who you are, that we worship the ever-living one, the great creator, the great I am, the God who inhabits eternity and who rules the worlds, and the very nations are but a drop in the bucket and he holds in the palm of his hand. And we thank you that you're the God who's all-seeing and all-knowing. You're eternal and you're immutable and you're omnipresent, omniscient, and you're immutable. You're the same God. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We bless your name today, Lord, because we are your children, the redeemed of the Lord. We are blood-bought and blood-washed through the sacrifice of Christ, who's given his life that we might be redeemed from sin. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful plan. What a wonderful transaction. What a wonderful experience to know God and to be the children of the King. We thank you, Lord, that we are here today because you've drawn us here. We believe God. We believe who you are. We believe in the gospel. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in what he has done, what he has accomplished. Lord, nothing and no one will ever change our minds as to who you are and what you've done. We thank you for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And many of us here, today, Lord, because we have been redeemed and the miracle of God's grace has affected our hearts. Our Father, as we pray together this morning, we pray that your presence will be a felt reality. And our God, we ask that you will be one of our number. Remembering Lord Charlie Cosgrove in hospital and his dear wife June, who also now has had a fall, and their son Gary. We ask, Lord, as we lift up the Cosgrove family before you, that they may know that round about and underneath are the everlasting arms of Jesus. For Sally Gilliland, Lord, who's experiencing health and challenges in her health, we pray that she too may know your touch, and that Bobby and her might soon again be restored back amongst us to worship the King in 2023. Lord, right around our world there's unrest, there's instability, there's uncertainty. Right around our world, there's a darkness and there's a despair crowding in around the people. Governments are trying to encourage us by putting money into our bank accounts. But all I want to say this morning, the only one that will encourage us is our God. We know, Lord, that you're the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And Lord, you've never seen your children go in want. And so we pray, God, that we'll not be in want for spiritual blessing this morning. We'll not be in want for spiritual nurture and spiritual inspiration. We'll not be in want for a vision from God. But that you will come afresh by your Holy Spirit to this congregation, to every person seated in your presence. That you'll come, Lord, to everyone who's involved in the ministry of this church. And that you will anoint them and baptize them again for service in the realms of Abbot's Cross Congregational Church. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, as we come to your word. It is your word, ultimately, that speaks to our hearts by your Spirit. And so we ask, Lord, for the gracious Holy Spirit to come upon us, Lord, and to illuminate the page and animate our spirits, we pray, as we gather around it. We offer this time of meditation to you, Lord. And we pray that we will be clay in your hands, as you speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to two passages. First of all, the historical event where Paul was rescued from those that would destroy his life and take his life, and he's let down on the other side of a wall in a basket. And then we're going to listen to the testimony of Paul and the full details of that account. And so if you've got a Bible, then I'm asking you to turn with me to Acts in chapter 9. And we're reading just the three verses 23 to 25. And then we're turning, please, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we are going to read, I'll name those There's a wee bit of feedback here, fellas. I don't know what we can do about it. But anyway, so you know I'm hearing it. Do you hear that? And then we're all sure that we hear that. It's not me. All right. Acts chapter 9, and we're reading verse 23 to verse 25. And then we are at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read a few verses there from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 9, verse 23 to verse 25. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. But the disciples took him by night, let him down through the wall in a large basket. Oh, then over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're reading from verse 16. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's Paul giving his testimony, and he includes that experience, that aspect, as he comes to the end of this testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that the many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I said that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone else is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, and I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Artaeus the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket, through a window, in the wall, and escaped from his hands. Amen. I don't know about you, but I found a lot of that quite confusing to get the words together, and I'm sure you're about as confused as I am. But what he was doing was, he was explaining all the things that had befallen him in his life, and especially since he had come into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this to you, brethren. I'm amongst those who believe in soul winning. I'm amongst those who believe in gospel preaching. I'm amongst those who, like Mark and others around this church, the Wests and others, who love to be involved in gospel tract distribution and knocking doors. And it has been our bread and butter since the day God saved us. I'm amongst those who believe in good, thorough gospel preaching to bring men and women into the fold and the family of God. I'm amongst those who believe that God is able to transform supernaturally those who are dead in trespasses and sins. I believe it's a fundamental right, and I believe it's a fundamental responsibility that every one of us in this church have towards reaching the lost. But that's not the only virtue. That's not the only office. That's not the only task that is laid to the church. Another task is laid to us to be a church that prays for one another. A church that interacts with one another and cares for one another. To be a place, should I say, a happy place that we come to, where we are assured that people will lift us up in prayer and seek the face of God on the for our needs. I'm glad God called me into the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God has called me to a place where people lift us up in prayer and pray daily and pray often for us. God still has some saints, some servants, and some soldiers. And today all of us have to seek God for this gift of encouragement, to seek to lift up one another, to be a help, a support, and encouragement of the body of Christ. In my Bible reading this morning was, again, that psalm, in Psalm 100 and I think it was 12. Don't hold me to that. It was somewhere in the psalms. I read a few psalms this morning. And he brought the barren out of barrenness, and he brought them into families and homes that he might care for them. That's God's purpose for the church. So we're not only to be a gospel-preaching church, which I thoroughly believe in, but we're to be a family of God that care for one another, who lift up one another in the arms of faith and love and present them to the throne of God in prayer. Not only do we have the Bible, not only do we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but we have one another. We ought to be able to rely on one another. We ought to be able to bear our burdens one to another and know that they will care for us. Because every one of us is a basket case. Every one of us is a basket case. The last time I looked, I saw a need in my own life. And the last time I conversed with you, I know that there's need in your life. None of us have ever arrived, and none of us can say we don't need one another. We do. And God has brought us into this crowd that we might indeed find that encouragement and that help on a daily basis. We stand together, we weep together, we pray together, we serve together, we worship together, we hurt together. And praise God, one day we'll be lifted up together to be before the throne. Until that day comes, we need to be a people who pray one for another. I have prepared this message with the thought and of this incoming week and its challenges and its needs, and especially the prayer time on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I'm going to give you a few pointers as to what you could put in your prayer basket. After all, that is our calling, to pray for one another and so fulfill the law of God. I'm going to give you a few ideas, a few little gems that you can put down in your Bible and say, I'm going to the prayer meetings and I'm going to be involved, and I have these people that God has placed on my heart and they're in my prayer basket, because someday, one day, someone had you in their prayer basket. Every one of us are an answer to prayer. Who of us can say we haven't needed prayer? Who of us can say we haven't needed someone to lift it up? Who of us hasn't needed to go to someone and ask specific prayer for a specific need in our lives? Now it's time not to be like the other lepers, but it's time to be like that one leper that came back and thank God. Here's the first thing that, if you care to record it, as we see it in Acts chapter 9. A saved young person, a recently saved person, needs to be in our prayer basket. In Acts chapter 9, in this chapter of God's word, it tells the story of Paul's conversion. This man who was a pain in the church has now become a pillar in the church. This man who once was a threat to the church has now become a treasure to the church. This man who once fought Christians is now fighting for Christians. This man who once blasphemed the church will soon be the greatest blessing to the church. The devil may laugh at our singing. He may even mock at our preaching. But when a soul gets saved, he gets mad. Hands up those of you who remember the day you got saved, the next day you found that you had a real enemy and his name was Satan, because I know it. And I'm not going to try and recount or recall the many events that I went through as a young convert, but I want to tell you, whenever you get saved, the devil doesn't leave your address. He doesn't lose your address. In fact, he takes particular notice that another threat to his kingdom has now arisen up from the dunghill and the ashes of sin. And every child of God is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And every child of God is a little less darkness in our world. What have they got in their basket here in Acts chapter 9? A young convert. There are young converts in this church this morning. You might be sitting beside one, or you may know of one. And every young child of God hasn't got the abilities or the faculties, hasn't got even got the intellect to know that they're up against the wiles of the devil. And they need the people of God and the saints of God to put them into their prayer basket and pray fervently that they'll make their way through. Why do you think that so many young converts don't get through? They don't last very long these days. Maybe we're failing them in the place of prayer. My friend, God is in the soul-saving business. And when souls get saved, there's no telling what God can do with that soul. What they had in their basket was a cargo of potential. And the devil hates when souls get saved more than you think. Just last week, I was reading the account of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I remember as they had Lazarus reclining at the table with Jesus, the Bible very clearly says that they hated Lazarus and had even designed and desired to kill him as well. Why? Why did they want to kill Lazarus? Well, can you imagine this man who once was dead is now alive, was once in the tomb but now he's free, was once in darkness, now he's in the glow of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Any wonder he was a threat to the kingdom of traditionalism and darkness and devilishness? Because he's now showing life where once he was dead. I want to tell you, any child of God that ever comes through and gets into a real place of blessing with God, and the people begin to take notice that there's life in the soul, that is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Again, reading how Jonah's life was, and Jesus actually quotes it, that because Jonah came out of the fish's belly, this was a testimony to Nineveh. And that's why the greatest revival ever happened, because Jonah was an evidence of the saving and resurrecting power of God. It's easy to get waylaid and distracted with many of the aspects of the work. But if there's one thing that we need to do, if there's one thing we should do, and if there's one thing we ought to unite around, it is the praying for young converts, for young people who've been born of the Spirit. I'm not saying young people. I'm talking about people who've been recently saved. The devil would love nothing more than to kill their passion and help them and cause them to veer off into waywardness and also ranness. How we ought to come around them, love them, encourage them, and inspire them. Sure, they have many things to learn, and their language might be one questionable, and their looks might be questionable, and their leanings and their leadings might be questionable, but they're still young converts. Why do we expect too much from young converts? Why do we expect them to be walking like princes when they're only coming out of the dunghill of sin? It is our responsibility to pray them into blessing, to cover them in prayer, and to encourage them in their walk with God. Have you got young converts in your prayer basket? Who remembers when they first got saved? I do. For some of you, you were brought up and saved into Christian homes. Well, that Christian home was well covered in prayer. But some of us who were born in some pretty rough positions and situations, well, our lives were a lot to be desired. What did we know about praying? So we thought praying was bartering with God. God, I'll do this for you if you do that for me. What do we know about praying? We didn't even know how to look religious. We didn't know what was expected, and thank God we didn't. Or we'd have been so disillusioned and discouraged, we'd have given up long before we even got started. We didn't know the importance of Bible study, fellowship, walking with God, obeying God, seeking God, or listening to God. We didn't even know how to listen to God. We just knew something had happened in our lives. And it was like we were slowly rising from the dunghill of sin, and a lot of the residue was still sticking to our clothing. We didn't know how to be a witness or see how important it was. We didn't know there was a real enemy who was specifically focused on our downfall. How many of you remember a saint of God that he brought into your lives, and they always seemed to be in the picture early on in your Christian experience? As you go back in the annals of your memory and you think of that individual, could have been Jimmy and Sadie McCrudden. Whose life has ever been affected by Jimmy and Sadie McCrudden? Could have been Mark Thompson, and I know there's a few people here who have been affected by Mark Thompson and the Wests. Isn't it interesting that in our eyes, Gordon Flanagan, and when they're running around Belfast with that band of men witnessing and testifying to the saving power of Jesus Christ, I'm guarantee I can name you a few people who had me in their prayer basket. I think of men I've met in my life and my ministry, men who ran little mission halls, little gatherings, men who were faithful, whose lives were driven by an insatiable hunger to see those who were lost in sin brought to the light of the gospel. Jim Jamison is still etched in my mind, and I only knew him for 3 years. Ivan Thompson. Who doesn't remember Ivan Thompson, that thunderbolt from the pulpit? John Thompson, who still runs a little mission hall up near the airport, roundabout there, faithfully and fervently knocking doors, reaching people for the lost. Alfie Dawson, another man that's in my mind. John McKee, another man who's definitely etched in my mind. A Tom Wilson, etched in my own personal experience. Tom, once he heard I got saved, was calling at the house, "I want you to give testimony at this meeting. I want you to sing at this meeting, and I want you to lead this meeting." In fact, Tom brought me to a number of meetings, and because his memory was going, he forgot to use me in the meeting. When we were going home, he said, "I forgot to use you." And he said, "Well, we'll turn back and have another meeting." I was in his prayer basket. Who have you got in your prayer basket? Who have you latched on to? Who have you got a vision for? What potential is in your basket? We ought to pray for young converts. That's the first point. Turn over quickly there to 2 Corinthians 11. Well, you not need to, because I'm going to explain it to you. Not only do we have to have recently converted young converts in our prayer basket, but a saint of God carrying a heavy load needs to be in our basket. Some of you got the news of Charlie being in hospital and Gary giving up. Well, you know that June Cosgrove, she has now fallen and she's got two black eyes. Got the wee message last night, and I sent her a wee message saying, "We'll love you dearly and sad to see this." And I shared a few of the photographs with some of the deacons this morning. There's a family needs to be in our prayer basket. Faithful saints of God who carried the light, who've been a witness and a testimony to Jesus Christ. And Charlie, right up until just a couple of years ago, was going right from door to door, house to house, bringing encouragement to the saints of God. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 is enumerating the storms, the valleys, the dangers, the sufferings that he has faced in his short ministry. He talks about being imperiled on land and on sea. He talks about valleys deep and mountains high, the raging storms and the overflowing rivers. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 11 about times he knew when he was naked, cold, thirsty, hungry. Every physical malady that you could ever think about, his body had suffered. And in the midst of reminiscing about all those sufferings, the very last verse, he mentions this basket that delivered him from the hands of wickedness and evil. I want to tell you that it might not be physical danger that you and I are in, but oftentimes the cares and the anxiety and the anxious things of this world and the problems and difficulties and distresses of this world crowd in upon the saints of God, because they that will live godly for Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But Job says in Job 14 and verse 1 that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. If you're not in trouble, you're going to face trouble. And the more you design and desire to live for God, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, the more anxiety and the more difficulty you're going to face. And we ought to have and ask God for saints of God who God would lay upon our hearts who are going through particularly difficult times. We're learning it's not only young converts need to be in our prayer basket. It's those dear saints of God going through some horrible trial of their life, facing trauma, trial, tragedy of some description or other. And it might just be that God is placing someone in your basket today for this incoming week. Was there any more misunderstood than the Lord Jesus Christ? When he showed kindness to the questionable of this world, accusations flowed thick and fast. When he kicked against the establishment, they soon rounded on him and they accused him of being a friend of sinners. Well, I would rather be accused of being a friend of sinners than be someone that cared not for sinners. My dear friend, just trace through the accounts of great men and women of God who made a difference by their lives and by their living. And not very far away, you'll see trouble on their heels. Nehemiah had Sanballat and Tobiah. Daniel had the establishment against him. Well, David faced accusation. He was hounded like a criminal by King Saul. W.P. Nicholson, preaching in Oxford. The report went back from Oxford, this man's not fit to stand and take Christian meetings in our university. Yet, nevertheless, in that mission that W.P. Nicholson preached in Oxford, there were more people converted at that time than through any preaching that was known in Oxford. Someone once came to me and they thought they were lovely and smug and they said, "Sammy Workman only tells stories." Well, I want to tell you, Sammy Workman's stories brought more people to Christ than you and I put together. And I said to them, "Don't you ever blow one man's candle out until you're lighting a brighter one yourself." Don't we love to blow people's candles out? Don't we love to quickly judge someone without even trying to investigate why it is that there's a difficulty in their lives, what's going on in their lives? We love to condemn them in a kangaroo court rather than put them in a prayer basket. God is saying to us today, you make sure you get some serious saint of God that may be going through some difficulty at this time. There are saints everywhere who need our fellowship, our friendship, and our companionship. They need someone to come alongside and encourage them. They need us to place them in our basket so that they won't become discouraged, disillusioned, or disheartened. They need you and I to hold the rope. I tell you, with friends like Job's three friends, who needs enemies? They spoke, they ridiculed, criticized, and complained. And they had the faintest idea of why the things that had befallen him had. There are just some things that money cannot buy. When the rivers are overflowing, when the valley is deep, when the burden is heavy, when the way is rough and impassable, it is then you need someone to pray. And I thank God for the many saints that contact me on a regular basis, saints from this church and saints down through the years, that contact me occasionally out of the blue even. God has laid you on my heart today, and I have prayed for you. I want to tell you a story, but I'm not going to name the names because it would not be fair on both the person who's in this church and the people that it concerns. There's a person in this church today, and they were awakened severely out of their sleep in the middle of the night to pray for such and such a person. The burden was so passionate, so vivid, so real, that they got out of their bed and they lifted up this individual before them, the Lord, in prayer. It turned out that individual, at that moment of time, we learned, was contemplating suicide. And God came to them at that time. I want to tell you, and I'm gladly encouraged at times whenever I arrive at a house and somebody will tell me, God told me you were coming today. God told me you were coming today. We need to stop seeing men and women as trees walking. We need to start seeing them as souls. They may just be going through the most difficult time of their lives, and they need us to lift them up in prayer. How often have you felt the darkness of the enemy's presence around you? You heard his whisperings, his condemning, his doubts and distress and anguish filled your hearts. It's times like this that we need to be able to turn to someone. Pray for me. Pray for me. God may well lay someone on your heart today, and your heart will become heavy. Pray that God will send the angels to support them and deliver them and encamp around about them. That old darkness that crowds in on a regular basis will be dispelled. Maybe some soul in this gathering's caught in sin, and rather taking the hammer of judgment and criticism, come alongside them. Here's what it says in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overcome in any distress or trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The saints of God need to be in our prayer basket. New converts need to be in our prayer basket. Here's the third category, because it's obvious from the passage that ought to be in our prayer basket. The servants of God need to be in our prayer basket. Who was in this basket? A chosen vessel. A missionary to the Gentiles. The one who would write the bulk of the New Testament. And the one that we thank God for daily, for the wonderful theological, doctrinal explanations and explorations of the gospel, Paul himself. The one who's, as a consequence of his life, there are churches dotted all around the world, because he was in their basket. He was in their basket. Paul is in danger of being hunted down, hounded, as he wants to live for God. In fact, he is living for God and doing what God had asked him. It's because he's bearing the light. It's because he's preaching the word. It's because he's ministering to the people. It's because he's reaching the lost and proclaiming the resurrected Christ that he is suffering in the way that he is suffering. He has a call of God upon his life, a divine destiny to fulfill. And what he needs around him is people that will pray. How often, even as Paul was in prayer, he said the word of God is not bound. So he's not praying for himself, but he's praying that the word of God will go out throughout the land from his prison walls. Often we receive messages from those who have inquired as to how they ought to pray about in their lives. Let me tell you something. Anything that has ever been done in this church has always been in answer to prayer, and only in answer to prayer. As I come to my conclusion, whose rope, or when those rope holders had Saul, as he was then known, little did they know that they had the greatest mind, theologically speaking, in their basket. Little did they know that they had one of the most effective evangelists in their basket. In fact, think of the potential of the person that you have in your basket today. Here's the challenge. We must put our young converts, our young people, our youngsters, our youth workers, our church leaders, our church members, our family members, our missionaries, and ministry individuals in our basket and pray fervently for them. What every believer ought to do is to consider deliberately seeking someone to place in their prayer basket today. Because right around you there are basket cases that need our prayers. Who knows the potential of that individual? That's with God. I finish with two questions. Is there somebody in your basket? Is there? Has God placed someone upon your heart? Is there someone that you feel needs prayer at this given time? We hear much about the frontline workers in the NHS. I believe every child of God is a frontline worker, and they need prayer. God's word does not instruct us to pray for one another and so fulfill the law of Christ without reason. Here's the second thing I want to say to you. Is there not only somebody, but is there something in your prayer basket? The church. This church. The community in which we live. Drug-ridden and sin-ridden as it might be, God still loves it. Still wants to reach out in 2023 and bring the light of the glory of the gospel to hearts that are still sitting in darkness. What's in your prayer basket? Would you consider it for next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday? And then come burdened and with a vision that we're going to pray through at such a time as this. Let's bow together in prayer before we sing our closing song. There's a song comes ringing over the restless way of Send the Light. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we bring this service to a conclusion, Lord, pondering the word of God and the challenge to our hearts, we ask, Lord, that we may indeed know something of that help of the Spirit. Lord, that vision that comes from God, that burden that you bring upon our hearts, Lord, may we know something of that today. And may this church, Lord, fulfill the responsibility and purpose for which you brought her into this light, to be light bearers, burden bearers, people who are determined to lift up the falling, care for the dying, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Help us, Lord, in the remaining moments of this service. Guard all our hearts, we pray, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing one of my favorite missionary songs. There's a call comes ringing over the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. We'll stand and sing together, please. Thank you. just bow together in prayer. And after we pray, can I ask you all to be seated after we pray? Thank you. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge that comes upon the church and upon your people. And we ask that the grace of God may enable us, inspire us and encourage us to be about our Master's business until he comes or until he calls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?